B-Pod Studios.
On the line with us right now, our good friend from 97.5 The Fanatic, Devon Givens, joins us. Good morning, Devon.
Good morning. How are you guys?
Doing well, man. How are you making out in all this madness?
I'm making out, man. Able to make it into work safely. Kids are good, so, you know, I don't need to go outside, so I'm good. Other than getting to the station and doing the stuff family-wise, I'm good.
All right, well, I'm just going to let you know, I'm doing my part as a host here. I'm wiping down everything when I'm done, just to be extra safe, all right?
Yes, you just got back. We've been doing that for a few weeks now.
I'm sure
you do that.
Absolutely. It's going to be like I was never here. I've been waiting to ask you this question since I texted you last night, my friend, and here you go. And I didn't want to ask you this ahead of time because I wanted your real answer. Is it a motivating factor at all for the NBA that the NHL has already came out to announce even a little bit of a plan to resume their season? Does that motivate the NBA to get something together sooner, or are they operating 100% independently?
I don't think that that's a motivating factor. While they've had those meetings together, all of the commissioners trying to come up with a plan, what's best for all of them to get back to the field of play, I think the NBA just marches to their own drum. Adam Silver has not done anything wrong in a lot of people's eyes since he stepped into that commissioner role, since taking over for David Stern, and since March 11th when he decided to shut the NBA down and everyone else followed suit. Since then, even with the conversations, I think they've done things on their own. Now, if you want to say the NBA and the NBAPA, that's a totally different factor. But in terms of the NHL getting out their plan first, putting it out there, the NBA has had multiple scenarios out there. They just haven't decided to announce one as of yet. So we'll see when they do it. To answer your question again, no, I don't think it's a motivating factor.
All right. The one thing that scares me about a faster return to play, because we all want that as soon as humanly possible. One thing that scares me is that the NHL might have thrown a wrench into all this, and that wrench could be more teams. The NHL has 24 teams. They have two cities that are going to be host cities. We don't know which ones they are yet, obviously. But the NHL has now gone from saying 16-team tournament, which I'm glad I hopefully won't have to say anymore because it's really tough, or a 20 to 24-team tournament. If they do that with more teams, do they have to bring in a second city?
Well, I guess it depends on how big the Wild World of Sports is in Disney. And everybody knows that's a large campus down there. So the way they've been talking about it, throwing out the different scenarios, I don't know. I mean, it's hard to say because I don't know personally how many basketball courts they are able to get those guys on, how many they are able to house within the resorts that are there, especially if they're having the conversations as well, as has been reported, as to who the family members slash friends are going to be able to be on that campus with the players as well. So that's a question mark that right now I don't know, but I would think that if they did anything, they would try their best to keep it where they stay in the one location.
Devon, Brett Brown on his Zoom call a couple of weeks ago was talking about how he's really sitting back, assuming that they're going to play the Celtics in the playoffs when it starts up, and really analyzing the team and different things that they've done, that they did throughout the regular season. What do you think is the biggest thing that Brett Brown has to change in this team to make them better and maybe have a good playoff run?
Well, that's a great question. I think he, number one, needs to figure out what he's going to do with Al Horford. Is Al Horford going to be part of the starting unit, or is he going to anchor that second unit for the 76ers? As we know, starting with the Clippers game before the All-Star break and thereafter, Al Horford was supposed to ride the bench, at least as the sixth man coming off and spelling Joel Embiid. But once Ben Simmons was injured with his back, things changed. So I think he has to figure that out. And then secondly, find out where his two stars lie with their health and their conditioning coming back after being off for so long. Ben Simmons with the back and Embiid with just the ongoing things that he has as well. But in terms of the team on the floor and once they start to bounce the ball, it's also figuring out what they're going to do with how the offense is going to run. We know it starts and ends, and you've been covering it, so it's been the same since Joel Embiid has been here. It starts with feeding the big man on the low block and getting him going first. And then you have to figure out also how you're going to incorporate Tobias Harris, Ben Simmons, and Josh Richardson. And then again, make sure that Al Horford is not just a big man out there making passes, that he is also incorporated into the offense in some way where it's free flowing, but Joel Embiid still gets his touches.
K, Can they come back a much better team, Devon? Like, can Brett design something? Can he figure that out? Do they have, now that you have, you know, different guys coming off the bench that you acquired late in Alec Burks and Robinson III, can they be a much better team coming back?
Well, if you listen to Brown and Brand, they say yes, right?
What do you say? I don't care what they say. I care what you say, Devon.
Yeah.
I think there will be, if the first round matchup 1-8 East or 1-16, and they're the 5-12, Boston 5-6-12, and they play them either way, I still think because they play Boston well, that it will be a long series, that they do, in fact, have a 7-game series. I think they can make noise in that first round. The question would be the rounds thereafter, which has been their problem the past two playoffs. So I think they can figure it out that way, Bob. But I'm just, if you, again, listening to Brown during that Zoom call that he had with the media, speaking about how he has looked back to things in the past where he started to go over things and go through all these different videos and try to figure out exactly, if he can't come up with something within the 2.5 months, 3 months that they've been off to figure out his way of using this team effectively and win series, since they continue to tell us that they are built for the playoffs, then there seems to be not just a problem maybe with him as a coach and his coaching staff, but also with the rosters that they'll have to figure out. So I think they can make noise in round one. The question thereafter still remains.
Speaking with Devon Gibbons, our own Devon Gibbons here on 97.5 The Fanatic. Devon, the other part of this has to go with that starting lineup. And if not even the starting lineup, expanded to the bench a little bit. Al Horford on the bench. Shake Milton off the bench? How does this work when you put it all together?
Well, I wanted to see, when Shake Milton was performing the way that he was before the season was put on pause, I wanted to see, once Ben Simmons returned, Shake Milton on the floor with Richardson, Simmons, Harris, and Embiid, since they had already committed to Horford coming off the bench as the sixth man. Mm-hmm. Because he was playing at a very, very nice pace out there, very under control, understood what they were asking of him, and he had that ability to, as we talk about somebody who can break down the defense and get his own, we saw in that Clippers game, not so much in the Lakers game because they devised the defense the way they did against them, but the other games thereafter, where he looked very comfortable, Mark, within the flow of that offense with the ball in his hands. Also with the ball being as that catch-and-shoot guy that we knew that we saw from a year ago, when he had some spot minutes and he had some glimpses and showing us some things that he could do as a guard shooting for this basketball team. I kind of want to see if Shake Milton can handle that. My only drawback with that is the fact that it is the playoffs. Not playing in the postseason last season, not having that experience on the floor and going that route. We know they like to go Glenn Robinson also. And maybe it also, Mark, depends on the matchup with the Boston Celtics. Does Glenn Robinson III as another wing defender make more sense against Jaylen Brown, Gordon Hayward, and, of course, Jason Tatum, where you have Shake Milton coming off the bench, even though he would be probably paired up with Marcus Smart? I wonder if it makes more sense that way. But if I had my choice right now, I would still lean towards Shake Milton, Al Horford coming off the bench.
Yeah, to me, I know it's weird, but that just sounds like spacing to me. It sounds like there's a lot. Like, I was getting jealous, and I'm not saying that they absolutely need to run a triangle offense, but watching Last Dance, I'm watching that offense, and I do love that offense. I'm a dork when it comes to that offense. I love it. But one thing the Sixers have been lacking in this whole time is proper spacing, and that's because they don't have that traditional point guard. I'm not saying trade Ben Simmons. I'm not saying Ben and Joe can't play together. I'm just saying if you do have a more traditional point guard, maybe you open things up more.
Well, actually, I don't think Shake Milton is a traditional point guard. I think he's a combo guard out there.
Yeah, but he can play that point position.
Yeah,
I think
he can.
Okay, yeah.
He can. Yeah, no, he can. I think it's a lot of, number one, what we just talked about with the idea of having someone who can break down the defense when the shot clock maybe is winding down, the offense gets a little bungled, and you have to go out there and get creative. We've seen that he can do that, especially when he has that confidence. Also, the catch and shoot ability, while Al Horford can shoot from the perimeter, we don't want to see 5 3-point attempts from Al Horford from distance. The same thing with the pick and roll matchups. Now we're talking about having Josh Richardson, who's able to run pick and roll, Ben Simmons, Shake Milton, and Tobias Harris, and also have the ability of Ben Simmons be that screener and that roll man to be able to make a decision not only for himself, but also for the rest of his teammates. So I like that dynamic as well, Mark, with, as you point out, with Shake being someone who could also run the point with Simmons, mm-hmm. but also having the different varieties of the way they can run the offense with the pick and rolls, different guys setting those screens, then not being someone stuck along the baseline, but also being able to be a screen man for Tobias Harris, Josh Richardson, or even Shake Milton in that regard.
I say this at the risk of sounding like I'm belittling Ben Simmons, and that's not all my intention, but Shake Milton, I feel like, is someone on the floor for Ben that he can, A, pass to, who can score, and also defer to run the offense.
Sure. Okay. I agree with that. All yeah, right. I agree with that as well. Yep.
Devon, schematically, do you think Brett has it in him to come out? Like some of the things you just said, and you and I have talked about this endlessly, I would love to see Ben Simmons in a pick and roll. I would love to see different things. I would love to see a high-low game with Al Horford and Joel Embiid. Something different, something we haven't seen. Do you think Brett has that in him schematically to come out, I don't know, say first game we see him, we're like, oh my God, this looks a lot different. Do you think he'll do that offensively?
Yeah, I think he will. I don't think he holds anything back because, number one, we all know about Boston round 2 and 18, and of course Toronto in round 2 and 19, and this is where we are. It, even though this is a unique situation with the shutdown because of the pandemic, at the end of the day, if they don't advance a little bit further than they have in the past couple of years, he may be looking for new employment. And if that is the case, he has to leave everything out on the floor, Bob. He cannot hold anything back. He has to get as creative as possible with his offense, with the talented players that Elton Brand has put to, on this team to allow him to do the things that he does, to get those 50-plus wins, to advance in the second round, to get to the Eastern Conference Finals and possibly the NBA Finals. He cannot leave that up to chance. He has to go out there, game number one, seven-game series, try to wipe out the Boston Celtics as quick as possible, and then adjust to whatever the next round may present you. But game number one against the Celtics in the playoffs, leave it all out there on the floor. Give different looks. The high-low game, as you pointed out, that was something, Bob, you and I talked about when the signing initially happened.
Yeah.
That Al Horford, with his passing, is going to help not only Joel Embiid, but mostly Ben Simmons being able to see over the top of the defense at Horford at 6'10", delivering the ball to Ben Simmons, as athletic as he is, to either finish at the rim with a dunk or catch and finish over top of the defender right there with a layup because he's ambidextrous and can shoot with either hand or jump hook over either shoulder. We haven't seen much of it, so he has to incorporate all of that within the offense, and I would have to think that that's in the playbook for the 76ers once they get back out there.
Last thing for you, Devon. Have you ever sat on a plastic-covered piece of furniture?
I have.
Have you ever done it on a hot day?
Yes, I have.
Worst moment of your life?
It's not one that you want to retry.
That's true. That's a good point.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I got a final question.
No, oh, no.
We were talking, sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, but what the hell's up with you and Pop-Tarts?
Yeah.
Me and Pop-Tarts. Liked them as a kid, bailed on them early teen.
Come on, Devon, don't be a quitter.
I got away from them.
You are the one person I can honestly say didn't have a chink in the armor. That's how solid of a person I look at you as, and now you have a chink in the armor.
A lot of questions.
And it's crazy because the kids, they still like them. They go with the basics, the strawberry frosted, the maple brown and sugar, whatever it is.
Brown cinnamon sugar.
Brown cinnamon sugar. They like those, and I still can't get into it. When I was a kid, I was in on it. Take them to school, leave, running late. Get on your way to school. You have them ready to go, warm them up, straight out of the wrapping, whatever it may be. But then at some point, I stopped liking it. Same thing with eggs.
Crazy.
It just happened.
Eggs? What's that? The incredible edible eggs.
Don't start that one.
I knew you had food issues before. I remember food issues before. But the Pop-Tart, the Pop-Tart thing is just bomb. Have you enjoyed a s'more Pop-Tart?
No.
Okay. Just treat yourself every once in a while to a fine s'more. Now, I will put it in a specialty class. It should not be in the same bracket as the strawberry Pop-Tart, for instance, with the icing. That's like the OG. But as far as the specialty Pop-Tart goes, try yourself a s'more every once in a while.
No.
Devon, great catching up, buddy. Thanks so much.
Hey, good to hear from you guys. Take care.
Thanks, Devon.
Well, back at you, man. Our own Devon Givens right here on 97.5 Fanatic.
The egg stuff, man. I get it. They're a little gross looking, but
what?
They're delicious.
I love, like, eggs are just great.
I made that pizza a couple weeks ago with the egg on it.
Oh, yeah,
and people were telling me, I don't know how to cook. I don't know how to do this. Eggs are disgusting. And I was just like, all of your opinions are invalid.
Yeah.
I like eggs. I didn't like the way you presented it on the pizza the other day. I don't like that. But
it was a sunny side up egg. What's the problem?
I love sunny side up eggs.
So what's the problem?
I don't want them on my pizza.
Pizza dough is just bread, Bob.
Yeah.
What's wrong with a pork roll, egg, and cheese?
You're right.
Bread sandwich.
Should give it more of a chance.
I'm just telling you, a breakfast pizza will blow your mind.
You know what I did for the first time, like during the pandemic?
What's that?
I did like a couple weeks ago, I did the toe in the hole. Is that what it's called? The egg in the toast?
Oh, yeah, that's a British thing, yeah.
Is it really?
I think.
You put a hole in the bread? And
yeah. I do that sometimes. It's great.
Egg inside. Game changer.
Yeah, it's great.
Oh, game changer.
Oh, my God. Because, like, look, picture this.
You don't have to sop the bread up. It's just there.
You don't have to sop the bread up. And the other thing is, think about this. You have your own little container.
Mm-hmm.
So you could use...
It's walled up.
It's walled up.
Your plate is safe.
So let's say this. Let's say you're cooking for like... you got your in-laws at the house. You got Bob, like you. You got like 15 kids. All of a sudden, what should you get? Boom. Breakfast right there on the hot plate kind of deal. On the flat surface. You could do like four breakfasts right there. Boom.
And then you get to eat the bread in the meantime. So you get a little snack while you're cooking.
Absolutely. It's a little Dunkaroo for eggs. It's
good
wonderful times. way late. My apologies. Time at the Fanatic is 9:26.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.